Hello everybody, welcome back to This Week in Poetry with Professor Nedimar. The poems I'll be reading in this episode are from Ramanujan's work, Uncollected Poems and Prose by A.K. Ramanujan, edited by Molly Daniel Ramanujan and Keith Harrison, published by Oxford India Paperback in 2001. A companion work I urge you to read is Journeys, A Poet's Diary by Ramanujan, edited by Krishna Ramanujan and Guillermo Rodriguez, published by Penguin Random House, 2019. It's a fascinating first-person narrative. Notes and thoughts of a great Indian poet from youth to his death at 64. Let's begin with waiting. It's an extremely intriguing poem. It talks about a very simple situation. A man, possibly the poet, standing in his drawing room, peering through the window, and he sees a family walking. There was a father, and there was a mother, and then, of course, the son, who is playing as he was walking, and the daughter doing cartwheel. So they were going somewhere, some destination they were sure of. Poet is watching through the window quietly. He is waiting too. But he doesn't know who he is waiting for. And he doesn't know where he is going. And then he looks again through the window. The family, slowly walking on the road, turned left on the 57th Street. Well, they got somewhere to go and I'm still waiting. I don't know for who and I don't know where I will go. It's a very interesting poem in the way the poet describes the family in detail. Each one different from the other. And brings out the differences admirably, detailing everyone. And also, standing alone, becoming very philosophical. The entire poem is in speaking voice, if I can call it. Reminds you of Frost. And I'm sure we'll enjoy listening to A.K. Ramanujan's Waiting. Waiting by A.K. Ramanujan. Waiting for a friend from Milwaukee to pick me up on Sunday. I looked out the window. A family of four. Young bearded father. Tall mother slim in white shorts. Son practicing imaginary baseball on the sidewalk as he walks ahead. And daughter, small and busy, trying cartwheels on the strip of new grass between sidewalk and the car-ridden road. They were waiting for nothing. Well, I waited, as always, for someone to arrive from somewhere and take me somewhere else. As I watched them turn into 57th Street, I too waited for nothing for a moment. Farewells. I remember reading a very interesting article, Seeing People Off, by the English essayist Max B. Born in the late 60s as a teacher. It's about saying goodbye to someone, a friend or relative at the railway station or a bus station, and we go to see them off. But then the bus or the train gets delayed and you spend an hour or so talking about some inane subject or the other, then you realize you got no more topics to talk about, especially when the train gets delayed. And, you know, this is a very tricky situation. But then the question, such a topic, seeing people all, is okay for a prose piece, but is it fit for a poem? Poetry is supposed to dwell deep into crisis, matters more sublime, greater than bidding farewell to someone at the rail station. But Ramanujan takes up such instances from our humdrum routine life, typically humorous, and he uses a very conversational style. He talks about different kinds of farewells, including some emotional ones, such as between grandpa and grandson, and one between mother and son. Very poignant, touching, and very Indian too. Farewells. There are farewells with formulae, farewells without. At the railway station, standing at the window of your friend, the train delayed for 2 hours and then again for another two. You can neither go home nor stop talking over and again about the delay. Oh, the old days when banana sellers were not rude and tea was really from Darjeeling. Also, the recurring farewell to the lady president of the Cooperative Society when they present her with a silver medal but don't have the time to inscribe her name, so they take it back to get it properly inscribed. Now the secretary ducks under his umbrella and turns into the garbage alley whenever he sees the lady in the road, as he cannot bear the thought of the unfinished farewell, the nameless medallion lost in his office drawer. Then there is the farewell of the dying patriarch among all his clan. The youngest grandson standing next to grandpa with a peculiar smell, two mouths without front teeth, mother crying into her sari, father busy on the phone trying to locate brothers on trains that do not arrive according to the time changes in April. Mother's babble had no words nor tears, only a long look that moved on your body from top to toe, with the advice that you should not forget your oil bath every Tuesday when you go to America. Returning, it's a short poem with a shocking turn at the end. All the poems I've read in this edition seem to justify Robert Frost's take on poetry. Poetry begins in delight and ends in wisdom. Also, we are reminded of American poet laureate Billy Collins, his observations on poetry, and how the opening lines unfold a rather familiar day-to-day event or happening, and then progresses in a more complex manner, leading to a provocative but thoughtful close. Returning home one blazing afternoon, he looked for his mother everywhere. She wasn't in the kitchen. She wasn't in the backyard. She wasn't anywhere. He looked and looked, grew frantic, looked even under the beds where he found old shoes and dust balls, but not his mother. He ran out of the house shouting, "Amma, where are you? I'm home, I'm hungry." But there was no answer, not even an echo in the deserted street, blazing with sunshine. Suddenly he remembered he was now 61 and he hadn't had a mother for 40 years. Daily drivel and monologue. Drivel is all about the kind of nonsensical things, you know, daily routines, chores we do every day without being really excited about, like washing dishes, for instance, or going to a laundry.
But how can they provide the staple for a poem?
And they do for IKEA anyway. I find the poem moving at a very fast pace and Ramanujan moving from one chore to another. But what follows this is very curious. Suddenly the narrative changes. And addressing possibly his wife, the poet says, "Oh, you had gone while I was doing all this. You had gone with the sole intent of watching the play Othello. You wanted to deepen your sense of life, leaving me with the mundane." And the poet uses some very interesting images, scattering precious seeds, reference of course to chores, with no hopes that someday the seeds will sprout the harvest by springtime. A very interesting close to a poem. I'm sure you'll enjoy this poem, which Ramanujan wrote in 1992. Daily drivel, a monologue. I cannot tell you how many things I did in the 4 hours you were gone. Showed my burning bottom to a young doctor who inevitably had to finger my deep and palpatory prostate. Hobbled back to do my laundry, huff and puff at my weights at the gym, ran in the rain to the grocery store for lettuce and the forbidden ice cream. Get my income tax returns postmarked by a Shirley post office. Eat my dinner of spinach, pasta, and yogurt. And send off taxi receipts through college where I had lecture 2 days ago. And write this daily drivel, which I hadn't done for a week. I even washed all my cups and saucers and put away my forks and spoons in the drawer and sat down for 10 whole minutes doing nothing. You went single-mindedly to see Othello, deepening your sense of life, while I scattered my hours on the wind, not even wishing they were precious seed that could sprout a harvest by springtime.
That's all we have in this episode of This Week in Poetry by Professor Nedumaran. I hope you enjoyed this rendition of a selection of poems by A.K. Ramanujan. Do share and subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Your feedback is much appreciated. We will meet you in the next one with more wonderful poems for your listening pleasure. Till then, take care.